Chapter 12. Admire her more and more, and cast about for means to bring the marriage to pass. Hayes was away from the village when Mrs. Cadet arrived there, but he did not fail to hear of her illness, and how her aunt had deserted her, and the good doctor taken her in. The worthy doctor himself met Mr. Hayes on the green, and, telling him that some repairs were wanting in his kitchen, begged him to step in and examine them. Hayes first said no, plump, and then no, gently, and then pished, and then sawed, and then, trembling very much, went in. And there sat Mrs. Catherine, trembling very much too. What passed between them? If your ladyship is anxious to know, think of that morning when Sir John himself popped the question. Could there be anything more stupid than the conversation which took place? Such stuff is not worth repeating. No, not when uttered by people in the very genteelest of company. As for the amorous dialogue of a carpenter and an ex-barmaid, it is worse still. Suffice it to say, that Mr. Hayes, who had had a year to recover from his passion, and had, to all appearances, quelled it, was over head and ears again the very moment he saw Mrs. Cat, and had all his work to do again. Whether the doctor knew what was going on, I can't say, but this matter is certain, that every evening Hayes was now in the rectory kitchen, or else walking abroad with Mrs. Catherine. And whether she ran away with him, or he with her, I shall not make it my business to inquire. But certainly at the end of 3 months, which must be crowded up into this one little sentence, another elopement took place in the village. Should have prevented it, certainly, said Dr. Dobbs, whereat his wife smiled. But the young people kept the matter a secret from me. And so he would, had he known it. But though Mrs. Dobbs had made several attempts to acquaint him with the precise hour and method of the intended elopement, he peremptorily ordered her to hold her tongue. The fact is, that the matter had been discussed by the rector's lady many times. Aunt Hayes, would she say, is a pretty little fortune and trade of his own. He is an only son, and may marry as he likes, and, though not specially handsome, generous, or amiable, has an undeniable love for Cat, who, you know, must not be particular, and the sooner she marries him, I think, the better. They can't be married at our church, you know, and, L, said the doctor, if they are married elsewhere, I can't help it, and know nothing about it, look you. And upon this hint the elopement took place, which, indeed, was peaceably performed early one Sunday morning about a month after, Mrs. Hall getting behind Mr. Hayes on a pillion, and all the children of the parsonage giggling behind the window blinds to see the pair go off. During this month Mr. Hayes had caused the banns to be published at the town of Worcester, judging rightly that in a great town they would cause no such remark as in a solitary village, and thither he conducted his lady. O ill-starred John Hayes, whither do the dark fates lead you? O foolish Dr. Dobbs, to forget that young people ought to honor their parents, and to yield to silly Mrs. Dobbs' ardent propensity for making matches. Asterisk, 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 the London Gazette of the 1st April, 1706 contains a proclamation by the Queen for putting into execution an Act of Parliament for the encouragement and increase of seamen, and for the better and speedier manning of Her Majesty's fleet, which authorizes all justices to issue warrants to constables, petty constables, head boroughs, and tithing men, to enter, and, if need be, to break open the doors of any houses where they shall believe deserting seamen to be, and for the further increase and encouragement of the navy, to take able-bodied landsmen when seamen fail. This act, which occupies 4 columns of the Gazette, and another of similar length and meaning for pressing men into the army, need not be quoted at length here, but caused a mighty stir throughout the kingdom at the time when it was in force. As one has seen or heard, after the march of a great army, a number of rogues and loose characters bring up the rear. In like manner, at the tail of a great measure of state, follow many roguish personal interests, which are protected by the main body. The great measure of reform, for instance, carried along with it much private jobbing and swindling as could be shown were we not inclined to deal mildly with the Whigs. And this enlistment act, which, in order to maintain the British glories in Flanders, dealt most cruelly with the British people in England, it is not the first time that a man has been pinched at home to make a fine appearance abroad, created a great company of rascals and informers throughout the land, who lived upon it, or upon extortion from those who were subject to it, or not being subject to it were frightened into the belief that they were. When Mr. Hayes and his lady had gone through the marriage ceremony at Worcester, the former, concluding that at such a place lodging and food might be procured at a cheaper rate, looked about carefully for the meanest public house in the town, where he might deposit his bride. In the kitchen of this inn, a party of men were drinking, and, as Mrs. Hayes declined, with a proper sense of her superiority, to eat in company with such low fellows, the landlady showed her and her husband to an inner apartment, where they might be served in private. The kitchen party seemed, indeed, not such as a lady would choose to join. There was one huge lanky fellow, that looked like a soldier, and had a halberd. Another was habited in a sailor's costume, with a fascinating patch over one eye, and a third, who seemed the leader of the gang, was a stout man in a sailor's frock and a horseman's jack boots, whom one might fancy, if he were anything, to be a horse marine. Of one of these worthies, Mrs. Hayes thought she knew the figure and voice, and she found her conjectures were true, when, all of sudden, three people, without ithier leave, or wire leave, burst into the room, into which she and her spouse had retired. At their head, was no other than her old friend, Mr. Peter Brock. He had his sword drawn, and his finger to his lips, enjoining silence, as it were, to Mrs. Catherine. He with the patch on his eye seized incontinently on Mr. Hayes. The tall man with the halberd kept the door. Two or three heroes supported the one-eyed man, who, with a loud voice, exclaimed, "Down with your arms, no resistance. You are my prisoner, in the Queen's name. And here, at this lock, we shall leave the whole company until the next chapter, which may possibly explain what they were." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.